Welcome to this episode of the 9420 podcast, where we talk about the music that we love and the industry that we tolerate. And welcome to this episode of the 9420 podcast. That was Desora with Mementos. Hi, Carl and Greg. How are you both doing?
Hello.
Hello, Carl and Greg. You know what's funny? There's something about the story, the guitar. I'll tell you, I, I love that kind of stuff. No matter what you say over that, doesn't matter, because as long as the bass and drums are good and the guitar.
Well, it's a good thing, because I don't know one word that was said.
I think they're from Brazil, actually.
They're a Brazilian rock band.
So I guess it's Portuguese. Cool. But I remember, like, I think I've told this story before, when I was watching the Grammys a few years back, they had Justin Timberlake, you know, with a 30-piece orchestra and dancers, and Katy Perry was hanging from the rafters doing trapezes and stuff, and, you know, all these so many instruments, you know, all this nonsense. But they opened the show with AC/DC, and it was just two guitars, bass, and drums doing, like, and the thing is, they are weird the way they do it. They don't bring the bass in until, like, later.
Right,
it's just
right.
The guitar and the drum going, and it just, it
fires people up.
The best. Yeah, it blew all that other nonsense away.
Yeah.
Something about just a rocking guitar, a drum beat. That's it.
Distorted guitar. Yeah, the tone of the distorted guitar.
Yeah, and
the
this guy had a good tone. It was a good tone.
Yeah, so it's perfectly normal. I think, you know, I remember years ago, back in the 70s, the older generation in the 70s, what they had to say was that this will never last. All these crazy sounds that are happening, you know, this rock and roll, this heavy metal, this thing will never last. Well, we're going on, what, 60 years now? And it lasts just fine.
And you still have new bands doing it, right? New bands still, like, you know, emulating that and doing, going for that. Yeah, it's
and
great.
And even
yeah.
international bands doing it, too.
Yeah. And so, and Latin bands in particular, they seem to be really, really influenced by kind of traditional folk sounds. So to hear, you know, this distortion and to hear these power chords, it's really a good, positive, fun thing, right?
I guess. I don't know. But yeah, Kiss just sold their entire catalog to somebody.
I saw that.
Yeah, and I thought it was extremely undervalued, didn't you?
300 million? They got no songs. It's more their vibe. You know, like, as far as a catalog of music, I know Strutter and, like, I Can Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Beth. That's it. Those three songs.
I think those were their three most popular tracks, right? But, I think that, you know, when you see some of this, some of these catalogs exchanging hands for three or four times that, you know, it's like, what?
Well, what would you think that they should have been offered?
Oh, I think it's a billion-dollar property.
Really? Well, because it's not just the music. Yeah. They sold the licensing to Kiss, the whole thing.
Exactly. I think
so they basically sold their likeness.
But then Gene, what's
my understanding,
his name?
Likeness, image, everything.
Yeah, Gene Simmons, he says he didn't really sell it. He's basically he's partnered with these people.
Yeah,
it's not technically a true catalog sell then if he's partnering with them. He's probably still getting something on the back end of it, too.
Typically, it's called a securitization where you kind of cash out a little bit, right?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not in the mindset of him. But, like, if I was Paul McCartney at this point, I would just, for feelers, put it out there and see what it'd be worth. Billy Joel was talking to Howard Stern about that, and Howard Stern asked him, everyone's selling their catalogs, what would you entertain? And he goes, well, I'd start at around a billion, you know, and go from there. I don't know, like, so you're thinking, and he said, what about Paul McCartney? I don't know, twice that, three times that? So,
right.
And for Paul McCartney, just for fun, I would just cash out. What the hell? Sell it all. I guess in his mindset, he's already a billionaire. Why not keep his legacy intact? I don't need to sell it. So that's probably,
But then I guess when he passes away, who becomes the, conservator of the entire Beatles catalog?
I don't know. That's weird. He's got, I would think, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know what his deal is, but I would think his daughters, like Mary and Stella, and his son, and not his new current wife. I think she'll get a stipend or something, but I think his legacy will go to his kids.
That's my feeling. His kids are successful in their own right, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stella has done, like, fashion.
A designer,
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that probably makes sense, you know.
Another bone to pick, man. Beyoncé, you know, won an award for first black woman to have a number one country album.
Was that at the award show that just happened or whatnot?
She's being embraced by Dolly, which I don't get. I don't know why Dolly's embracing her. It's funny, they showed three versions of Jolene you know, Beyonce's, Dolly's, and Miley Cyrus's. Mm-hmm. And to me, Miley Cyrus's was the one that rocked of all
of them. Miley Cyrus is honestly, she's kind of having a little bit of a comeback. And I mean, I know her version from Jolene was before, but she's really in her element.
But she's cool. She's normal. Anyway, yeah, she's kind of, but hers was like tepid, man. She can't even sing. I thought she could even sing, but she has this weird voice. So then she did this remake of Blackbird by McCartney.
I heard about that, yeah.
And so I played that. Basically, it sounds like she took the exact track, because you hear the foot tapping and everything that McCartney did, and she sings it, and I'm telling you, it's like a bad karaoke. It's like horrible.
That's the name of my new band, by the way, Bad Karaoke.
The record, I'm sorry, nothing against Beyonce. I don't know much about her R&B stuff or her dance music.
Let's not have the beehive come for us.
This country record is a sham. And the fact that she's getting so much press for it, it just goes to show you the music business, well, the world in general, but the music business is just a mess.
I heard that country radio wouldn't play her, like, Texas Hold'em or whatnot
initially.
Good for them.
But they all cash in because, you know, the powers that be, you know, like, I'm sorry, it's like...
But it's not really a true country album. Like, there's so many different genres in it. It's a genreless album. So.
I've said this before. There are a lot of people that I know in the music industry in Nashville that are embracing the whole thing. Quite frankly, the level of writing on that album is probably 20% quality-wise of what's being written in town every day. So I think when you have to look the other way on the quality of the underlying work, then it's all just promotion. It's all just hype. It's all just...
I remember when Elvis Costello...
The songs are horrible.
Elvis Costello back in the late 70s came down to Nashville and did Blue.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a writer. He can write songs. And they just chastised him, man. You know, they didn't embrace him at all. Some English, you know, new wave guy coming to Nashville to try to do a country record. And his thing was even kind of country. It really, but they're embracing her now. It's just politics. The music business has become crap. It's crap. I'm sorry.
Well, and it's interesting that you bring that up. So I think it was the ACM Awards or the ACT, whatever awards happened in Austin this past weekend. For the last couple of weeks leading up to it, there's been this song on TikTok by Dasha, Did Your Boots Start Something or Whatnot? And almost every single video that was in our feed for a while had it on, and it's her like line dance to it. So they think they had her like open the show with it, and then it backfired because people are like, oh my gosh, this song again, I can't stand it anymore. Like, it oversaturated it because I think it's one of the only sounds available on TikTok right now because the whole Universal thing going on. But it's interesting because, like, you can be so famous and, you know, have a career that you did decades beforehand. One song goes viral and now people are sick of it. It's just an interesting dynamic to kind of see lately.
You remember when Saturday Night Live used to be like cutting edge for music?
Good, yeah.
I watched this week's with another thing too. It bugs me. It's like Kristen Wiig was the host. She was great when she was a cast member.
It was like her fifth time hosting it, right?
And like, they're not funny anymore. And what they do is she brings all these celebrities like Paul Rudd and like Matt Damon and John Hamm and all these guys coming out there, and they think they're funny, and everyone's so impressed because, oh wow, a celebrity, because Matt Damon stands up and says something not funny, but everyone goes ha ha ha, and then like Paul Rudd does something not funny, ha ha ha, and they're all going, well, we're funny because we're celebrities doing comedy, you know, and like, and they're boring and they stink. I watched the show. I can't believe I watched this show for 90 minutes.
This is the rant episode.
No, but I watched the show for 90 minutes. And tell me out there, anyone who listens, I didn't even chuckle. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then they had the musical guest. I don't know where they got this chick from. Her name is Ray. And like, she has this 20-piece band behind her doing this, I don't know, Broadway, jazz, pop, dance. I didn't know what it was. It was just like, she could sing, she was okay, but like, I could care less. Yeah. I could care less. Who booked her?
So
who's her friend?
Yeah, well, she's got friends in high places, evidently. There was a time when it was very, very, very difficult, an impossible shot to get booked on that show. But I think there have been times where they've used the musical guest to actually prop up the audience. But I don't know if there's
it wasn't any, last week.
Any appointment viewing yet or still at Saturday Night Live.
I think they should do more than one dress rehearsal before they do these shows, man. You know what's funny? So yesterday I was in a weird mood. I came home and I just happened to stumble on Happy Gilmore.
Oh, Lord.
You know what? It was the perfect movie.
Yeah, right.
They making a Happy Gilmore 2 now? Like, Adam Sandler came out saying that they are.
Every second is a bit. It's a skit. And he's just stupid. It's like a stupid joke. It's a stupid joke. It's a stupid joke. I hate to say it, but it was great.
Yeah.
I'm giving Happy Gilmore 5 stars. It's better. You know, let me tell you something.
Should have gotten an Academy Award.
It blew Barbie away. It blew Oppenheimer away. I was more entertained watching this than watching that book report, that 3-hour book report on World War II. You know, who cares? Am I ranting?
Yeah, you're
ranting. A little
bit, this is the rant episode. But that's okay. We've needed one of those for a while. I've got a bunch of rants I can jump on if anybody's interested. But I wanted to ask you, Nicole, since we're talking about media and visuals, did you ever catch up with or get into Regime?
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't even watch the first 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
So
it's a big WC, baby. Who cares?
It is one of those things. Me and my husband, you have to almost get through the first episode. Like, the first episode is like almost painstakingly terrible.
Yeah.
But there's something about it you want to keep watching. We're on the second episode now.
There's nothing about it you want to keep watching.
We really like it.
Well, you know what is fascinating is that we always watch the episode that airs on Sunday night, I believe. We always watch it on Monday night. It's more convenient. Well, guess what?
What?
It is 6 episodes. It ended Monday, and I was completely shocked by that because I thought it was a success, and I think that
I personally think that there are no more shows that go like 22, 24 episodes that like have true seasons. They just make them 6 episodes. If they get picked up again, they get picked up. If not, they've got another pilot coming out in like another week, and that'll fill the spot. So.
It just I have so two,
you know what? I have two
bizarre.
Words for both of you. Gilligan's Island.
Shut up.
Oh, Gilligan's Island is a really good show. I enjoy that.
Why is it that 90 years later, whatever it was, still is relevant? I'd rather watch that than almost anything on Max.
If you want to throw it back, also, I Love Lucy. Like, that show, you can watch that day in and day out and not get bored with it. And there's comedic timing, and it's great. So,
have you guys seen the conspiracy theory documentary about Gilligan's Island?
No.
What do you mean? Where do you watch these things?
It is absolutely fascinating. It's called the Gilligan Manifesto.
What's the conspiracy?
So the conspiracy is that the entire show, line by line, for however many years it was on, was Sherwood Schwartz, the creator.
Right.
It was his communist manifesto. And it is fantastic. It's like, oh, I can't believe this. You know, Gilligan says something to the professor, and the professor says something back, and then they tell you what the real context of the comments were. And they're all attributed to communism. Unbelievable. I think it's called Gilligan's Manifesto.
All right.
So, you guys check it out.
That's a thing for you to watch this week.
You guys check it out.
I believe it. It's all a commie plot.
Yeah. Well, what they say is that even the characters are presented as, you know, an archetype inside this communist manifesto. You know,
the Brady Bunch was Russian propaganda.
No, I mean, watch this movie and tell me that it isn't really brilliantly conceived. Now, whether or not it's true or real, I have no idea.
Could it be just somebody really just jerking your chain, man?
Yeah, of course it is.
Or they know they're being a joke, but they're just...
They probably are jerking everybody's chain, right. But it's funny how much insight there's been put into the script of this documentary.
So as far as the music business, anything else that's going on that we know about?
I mean, Morgan Wallen got arrested over the weekend for throwing a chair off of the Chief's new bar rooftop or whatnot. So that's been making the rounds. And
why are they just being rowdy and stupid?
Well, his ex-girlfriend remarried over the weekend, so he was probably drunk and something happened, and I don't know, but he's now, I don't know if he's facing a felony, but they're talking about prison time for him. So
way past his 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Way past his 15.
Wasn't he the guy who was like canceled and didn't care
but came back? Yeah. And came back, and like, so I mean, he's been canceled once, he'll probably be canceled again, but he'll probably come back after that. So
is he any good? Was songs
he's
any good?
Decent, like he's not terrible.
That's the standard by which
he's not the Beatles, but
it is called the Gilligan Manifesto.
Can't wait, baby. Everybody
see it as fast as you can.
Where do you stream it?
It's on Tubi.
Tubi? Okay.
Tubi has got a lot of fascinating programming. Because
it's cheap and free.
It's literally where like the void goes to become the void. Yeah. So.
My R&R as the void. Or from the void.
I'd love to just follow you around one day and be a fly in the wall.
No, you wouldn't. Believe me, you wouldn't.
All right. On that note, why don't we take a break and listen to some music by DeSoro? We're going to listen to a single called Entro Cemento Universal. But before that, because it is our 170th episode, we're going to hear from our unofficial sponsor, Bongo Java. This episode is officially, unofficially sponsored by Bongo Java. Bongo Java, the birthplace of the 9420 podcast. While Bongo Java got its start a year earlier than 9420 in 1993, in 1994, Carl and Greg's relationship got started, and in 2020, Carl and Greg visited Bongo Java to create this podcast that you listen to. For more information on Bongo Java, go to bongojava.com.
Fonte primordial, vou viver a vida sideral. A verdade divina, a verdade final, entrosamento universal. Deixe seu ego de lado. Para a centelha trabalhar. Una-se ao cosmos. Pare de reclamar. Todos reunidos no maior astral. Venha junto, é legal. A verdade divina, a verdade final. Entrosamento universal. Não ponhas tua confiança nas armas de metal. Fundamenta tua pessoa no cimento espiritual. Vou viver a vida sideral. A verdade divina, a verdade final. Entrosamento universal. A vida é uma projeção de nossa consciência. Tudo que estou dizendo está dentro da sua essência.
todos reunidos no maior astral. Venha junto, é legal. A verdade divina, a verdade final, entrosamento. Universal.
Okay, so it's like, what is that, like the Brazilian Ramones?
Yeah, something like that.
And then that kind of tempo change in the middle there, what was that about, huh?
It's really dramatic, right?
These guys are intense. So we spoke to, I think they answered our, what did they answer?
They answered our questions of the week.
But I think they just gave us one long answer, right?
There was they did. So why don't we hear from DeSoro and get to know them a little bit?
Okay.
DeSoro is a completely new band that mixes Brazilian music with a lot of guitar elements without starting from any assumption, with each member adding their own ideas. Since then, the band released the songs Bruninha, Entrosamento Universal, and Paixalá. The last release was Momentos, which was also released DeSoro's first video clip. The band differentiation is to have several influences, such as Dream Theater, Van Halen, Santana, Whitesnake, Yang Malmsteen, Joe Satriani, Deep Purple, Ronnie James Dio, Scorpions, and Mailing Dream Theater. And of course, Brazilian typical music, like samba and bossa nova. And we have Brazilian artists such as Engenheiros do Havaí, Tim Maia, Djavan. DeSoro focuses on all music with lyrics on the most varied themes such as spirituality, relationship, everyday life, and mystical as well. Because we are from Brazil, it's so important to our song playing all around the world. So thank you so much.
Well, that was very good. And let me say this categorically, his English is much better than my Portuguese.
Yeah, I was going to say I loved his accent. So
maybe he should, why does he sing in English though, you know?
And anybody that says that Ronnie James Dio is an influence, I'm with you. I'm down 100%.
Hey, we featured our first, I think, South American band. So.
You know, this is my question. This is my question. Why are we here?
So we went from ranting Carl to like deep thinking
Carl. Mindful Carl.
To all my listeners out there, all our millions of listeners, the question we'd like you to respond to is, can you give us a good definitive reason as to why we are here? Because I don't know. I've been weighing it for all these years. I'm still here, but I don't know why. I don't know why.
Speaking of listeners, it was confirmed when we were recording the last time, because I was up in New York celebrating my mom's birthday, that my dad was the one pushing the lawnmower on the side of the house that I was recording.
That is so absolutely amazing.
He just wanted to be on the podcast in his own way.
There he goes.
He did it.
He was a star.
Yes, he was. He was annoying Carl the whole time.
Star of our last episode. There you go.
I was kind of hoping there would be a massive leveling of media with this.
You mean the solar eclipse?
The solar eclipse thing. Yeah, I wanted there to be like a massive internet death.
We had an earthquake.
Would take us 10. Yeah, earthquake too. So I know very little about all this stuff, and that qualifies me to talk about it on this podcast.
Right.
But there has been talk recently about some kind of solar activity. Actually, we have historical proof that it took radio off the grid 100 years ago. And they're saying that it's absolutely positive 100% that the grid will have issues associated with the radiation of the sun in our lifetime. So it's possible that the grid does go down. It's possible that we do get a restart.
I'd be happy for that.
Yeah.
On that note, I think it is time to get on out of this episode.
I think the last song we're going to play by DeSoro is
Paixalá.
It's Paixalá. I think that's how it's pronounced. It's P-A-I-X-A-L-A. So.
Yep, and he said it in the thing, so it's Paixalá. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the 9420 podcast. Make sure you listen all the way through for that last single called Pai Shalab by DeSoro. For everything we spoke about in this episode, you can go to our website, which is 9420.com. That is the number is 94 and the letters TWENTY. Until next time, we'll talk to y'all later.
O Pai Xalá, não se deixe influenciar pelos vícios mundanos que podem te derrubar. Seja a cor que for, natural ou artificial, faça uso de forma racional. A sério, isso pode te magoar.